So let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for the precious scriptures that have been given to this world to hear of who you are and to know that, dear Father, you've so loved the world that in the fullness of time when it was fully come, you sent forth your dear Son and born as one of us to redeem us, to change the world, to bring our weapons of war to an end, and ultimately the peace of your eternal kingdom shall reign across all nations. And so we thank you for this great plan, and we pray that we may gladly and humbly and genuinely take part in that kingdom as we share your word, as you put your word on our lips, in our hearts, a word of reconciliation and of forgiveness, but also a word of welcoming the Messiah. So, Lord, we welcome you this morning as the one who's come to us. We welcome what you've done in our lives, and we pray that you'd continue to find a welcome in our families and our community. This is our earnest prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You'll be looking or listening a little later in the service to Isaiah chapter 2, and you'll also be listening to a little bit from Matthew chapter 24. Now, Isaiah 2 speaks of a day when all of the nations would stream to the God of Israel, that is, the God who has been revealed in Jesus Christ, and people would just gladly and happily put their faith in this wonderful God with a great plan for the world, and they would say things like, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." And so it's out of Zion or out of Jerusalem, out of the gift of faith that's come to the world through this people, that instruction will go forth, instruction daily for life. And it would be a tremendous matter because he would judge fairly between the nations, and they would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will no longer lift up sword against nation, and they won't learn of war anymore. So that's where we're headed. That's the plan. And of course, we'll know that when Jesus came, the way in which the world accepted this Saviour, ultimately, first of all, it was very enthusiastic. People loved his healing powers and his colourful teaching. But towards the end of his ministry, they turned and they weren't receptive. And we know that was really part of the plan, was in the rejection that that acceptance really came. And it was in all of that that Christ continued to love, and in a love that we'd never seen like that in the world before. We love now because he first loved us in a persistent and an unending, constant, wonderful personal love that has changed humanity's outlook. I'd like to, just to help us think about the coming, what we call the coming or Advent, and there's a number of ways that applies in our thinking, and I'll get to that in a moment. But just like to read from Luke chapter 19, and this is where Jesus, it says that he wept over the city as he came into Jerusalem, but the word weeping there is a deep, it's not just that he was sad, it was a deep, from the depths of his being, a massive grief and sadness that they didn't know the way of peace, and they weren't willing to accept, you know, the forgiveness and love and the way of freedom. Instead, they were still looking to have a kind of a punch up with Rome, and in the end they got that. But this is what Jesus said, or this is what happened. Luke 19, verse 41, reading from there. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. You can't see them. I saw someone the other day was saying they've never seen God answer any prayer ever. And I thought, well, gee, you live in a pretty narrow circle. You haven't talked to many people. But if you don't have eyes of faith to see what God's doing, they actually really becomes hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. People basically missed. We say it's Christmas. Jesus' name is Emmanuel from Isaiah, which means God is with us. Who's with us? God. This is who has visited us here on this first Christmas occasion. But Jesus said, you know, the outworking of this is going to be tragic. And the reason was they didn't recognise the visit or the visitor that turned up. It's an interesting thing, visiting someone or being visited by someone. When I was a young boy, I think our era in the, say, the mid-60s, perhaps early 70s, we used to have a lot of visiting going on. People used to, didn't text before you called on someone. You just came and knocked on the door, and then people, they'd all pile in, and, you know, Mum would dive for that spare packet of biscuits that she'd hidden from the hungry boys somewhere, and we'd all have a cup of tea, and there's kind of a lot more visiting, you know, just used to go on. But sometimes if we were out playing, my brother and I and sister, if we were out and there were certain visitors that we used to think, uh-oh, not them, and we would bolt somewhere up to the sheds, the shearing shed or the dairy, or climb a tree or something, you know. We didn't really want to get visited, and we'd see how long we could hang out and maybe turn up for afternoon tea or something, you know, just at the last. But sometimes it's like that even with Christmas. People don't want the visitation that Jesus, actually, who owns the season, he's the Lord of the liturgy of life, if you like, and it's embedded in all these nations around the world that we, you know, put up the decorations and certain things happen. But in all of that, it's not just tinsel, it's that Jesus himself is self-proclaiming his message again through his church, singing it out into the community, and we ourselves sing things like, joy to the world. Everybody, joy, joy, joy. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And Psalm 2 is a psalm that says, we ain't having no king, and we're going to cast the cords of this king far from us. But we continue to say, no, receive this king, because he's a messenger who brings peace and a different way of going about things. If they'd have known that, instead of looking for a Messiah who would fight, they would have found a way to be happy under the Romans, found a way to find a freedom there, and said, okay, but they didn't. And the outcome was that 70 years, well, really 35, AD 70, 35 years or so after Jesus' death and resurrection, just read you a little excerpt of what happened. A Jewish revolt began in AD 66, and it ended in absolute carnage in AD 70. The emperor, Roman emperor's name was Vespasian, and his son Titus came and ransacked not only the city but the temple, the whole thing. The Romans laid siege for 5 months, and when the rebels finally were overthrown, they overthrew the temple as well, and it was destroyed. If you go today, all that's left of that city is that wailing wall. We've seen pictures of people walking up to that. That's all that remains. And Rome was the instrument there of God's judgment on a very hard-hearted people who said, we won't have this God who loves the world. We won't have this type of Messiah. We like the military sort. And yet, so they missed the time of their visitation. In Matthew chapter 24, you get a bit more detail as Jesus is talking to his disciples. They come out of the temple and they say, hey, look at this. Isn't this a marvellous building? And he says, well, truly I tell you, not one stone is going to be left upon another, and they'll all be thrown down. And then they want to say, when's this going to happen? And when will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus goes off and then he details right through this long chapter a lot of things that would happen. And it's very difficult when you read it to disentangle the things that would happen in AD 70 and the things that would happen at the close of the age and the things that just happen along the way. So I'm going to just try and point to a few of those. When we think about Advent, we sometimes, we're focusing on waiting for Jesus' birth to be celebrated on December 25th. But there's a lot of aspects to his coming. There's Isaiah who looked forward to it, John the Baptist who pointed to his coming, and then there's his coming at the close of the age. There's his actual birth, and that so that when he's born among us. But there's also this aspect of his coming to us now, personally, to make his home, to come and actually extend his friendship eternally to human beings and to draw people into the truth, wonderful truth, of what life's always been about, to fill up everything with meaning and to fill it with all the fullness of God, so that everything you've been about as a human being, Jesus comes to redeem your life, to make you new, to make the community you live in new, to make for forgiveness to travel through a whole region or a community. And that's happened in different places over the world, and it's transformed the nature of that community. So each Christmas time, you know, we're praying afresh that this transformation will take place around us, with people we know, and that this Christmas will be the one where they, you know, let every heart prepare him room. And they prepare him room and say, Lord, I actually have been, you know, fighting too long. I'm over this. Yeah, you're true God, and let's see how it works from here. And most of us would say, it's worked out well since that happened for us, you know. Our life's taken on a richer, a much different feel, and even the way we understand suffering's different now. The way we understand death is very different. And the way we understand our vocation, the thing God's given us to do, is been transformed because we've known or allowed, if you like. The miracle is that we have said, yes, Lord, you know, come to me and be the one who visits me continually. So even for Christians, part of the matter is for us to let his word really transform us And sometimes that'll be costly. This is what Jesus said would happen since his birth and as his ministry flows on. Matthew 24 describes a few of the things. Some are things AD 70, but some are things now. Jesus answered, he said, "Beware that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, 'I'm the Messiah,' and they'll lead lots astray." We've seen that. It's happened through century after century. People have been led astray by false leadership, people who've said they're the Messiah even. You'll hear of wars and rumours of wars. Don't be alarmed. Don't be fearful. That's going to go on. So the hearing of a war or something like that, that's not an indication. This is just, he says, the end's not yet. "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes and various places. All this is just the beginning of the birth pangs, but it's in the midst of that that his word's to come." And then he goes on and says, this is how it is for you. They'll hand you over to be tortured. You'll be put to death and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. And, you know, we don't see so much of that in our community, but certainly in, you know, Iraq and Iran and Syria, it's cost people their lives for being Christian. That's just how it's been. And Jesus said that would be part of it, even in Indonesia. The former president of the Uniting Church had about 10 years of ministry there, and he saw all of his congregation in some places absolutely decimated. They were killed because they were Christians, and their building was torn down, but now in some of those places, mosques have changed to churches. A peace has come. That love penetrated and transformed parts of those communities. So this will keep happening. That's part of the action of the gospel. Many false prophets will come, lead people astray. There'll be an increase in lawlessness. God, we've got some hoons around in Australia, don't we, at the moment? Like, I know there's always been that element, but lawlessness sometimes just, you think, let's just clamp down a bit, you know, and it's a great thing to do that. You're glad if you've got a police force that can. I saw New Guinea try and just show what a policeman's life involves in the highlands of New Guinea. You're in the jungle on your own. It's hard work. We've got a whole team of people to come together and, you know, try and bring a bit of calm and peace. But this increase in lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. I saw the other day, again, people not stopping going to church. I've had enough. But the love of Christ is to be renewed in us, continue to be transformed. Let him and his love and the way of that love keep coming to you, so that you are transformed and you live in that transforming action. These are the things that happen. But he said, this good news of the kingdom must be proclaimed throughout all the whole world as a testimony to all nations. So people keep hearing, people groups everywhere keep hearing of Christ. And then the end will come. And then there's a few apocalyptic passages that are, so it says this, "So when you see the desolating sacrilege in the holy place, as was spoken by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains." Now, historically, when they attacked the temple, people fled and left to the mountains of Pella. So that actually historically happened. "One on the housetop must go down and not take what's in the house, just go. Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for there'll be a time of great suffering, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be." And we sometimes pick up that, you know, look, even today, there's enormous suffering. Some children are just being captivated for horrendous purposes. It's part of the suffering of our age. We know it's there. And if those days had not been cut short, no one would have been saved, but the days will be cut short. So, you know, the Lord will constrain the outbreak, really, of evil. People say, there he is, here he is. He said, they'll have great signs and things. Don't get led astray. And a little further on, we read that, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So we have these passages at Advent. We're thinking about Jesus' birth, but we read all of this about sort of the close of the age. You know, when you go up on top of a mountain, if you ever go to get a photo of the lightning or something, you're meant to don't stand under a tree, but if you do that, sometimes you can get a flash and it lights up the whole sky and everything's just crystal clear. Well, Jesus is saying, well, you know, at the close of the age, it'll be crystal clear that that's what's happening and the new age is about to begin. Then the Son of Man will appear in heaven and all the tribes of the earth will mourn and see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. It's again apocalyptic language. They'll send out the angels, will be a loud trumpet call and gather his elect from the four winds and so on. So, colourful language, and you'll hear a little bit more of what will happen. Jesus did say then it'll be like in Noah's day, and we talked about that earlier. People will just be marrying, giving in marriage, eating and drinking. So, in other words, normal life will be going on, and it's in the midst of normal human life that Christ's coming appears. So, his words about that are, be ready, be prepared, let every heart prepare him room. So when he comes, you go, yes! And you're joyfully anticipating. It's not like, oh, heck, that's the end of the world. No, it's not. That's the beginning of the best, which has always been yet to be. And that's what we're anticipating, is that everything you've been about as a human being comes to its fullness and you enter into all the things that human beings raised with a resurrection like Jesus. You'll be part of that. And so that's where we are anticipating what's needing to happen. So, you know, today as we come and come to Advent, it's for Christmas time to be another time when people prepare their hearts and let Christ come and make his home in them. It makes a difference, doesn't it, to you when the Lord works in your life and you receive and accept his action. Makes a huge difference. And it still makes a difference when we have been a Christian for some time and some people, like they do in Lent coming up to Easter, sort of renew their devotions. It's a good time of the year to do that. So I'm going to try and understand this a bit more. So I am prepared and I'm ready and Christmas Day arrives and you're celebrating the birth of one who's transformed the calendar, the nations, everything's been marked by the appearance of this baby. And bundled up in a baby is a lot of stuff, not looking at anyone in particular. But this bundle of joy is to be the joy and delight of the whole world. He is to be our hope. He is to be our peace. He is to be the one whom we all find a way to stop fighting with other nations, stop fighting with each other, forgive each other from the heart and love each other fervently, even though that other person holds a really dumb view. You love them with all your heart because that is the Lord's outlook towards the human race. And so that's why the celebration of Christmas, that's why from an early age there's something, that kind of magical feel that you sense Everyone's been kind to each other for a change. It's a sign. And many people don't want to see that sign. They want to have cricket on Christmas Day or something. You can play in the backyard, for heaven's sake. Have a go yourself. You know, but when I said cricket, you know, they want at the Adelaide Oval, so you go and don't have any Jesus, you just have lots of willow on the ball. You know, like people are wanting to avoid the visit, that's what's happening. But let this time be a time when he visits you and listen for not only his whispers, but his direct speaking to you about your being involved in his kingdom. I mean, last night I just saw one life touching so many people through a vocation of love, helping people to be in ambulances, to be there to bless and to save, to heal up, patch up wounds, to be a blessing. And from Ceduna to Loxton to Adelaide to Queensland, you know, one person's life affects all of that. That was Leon's. But we, you know, everyone is involved in hugely wonderful things. And if you're in Christ, it's all adding up. Well, may the Lord bless you as you prepare for Christmas, as you pray earnestly, and may the Lord continue to visit you by the Holy Spirit, visit you and prepare your heart, and may it be a great Advent as we do that. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for the mystery of your birth, the virgin birth. And Lord, we thank you for the mystery of your resurrection. Resurrection triumphant over death. We've never seen that before. Dear Lord, we thank you that you've come among us to bring a great mystery, yourself, to our lives. And we pray that as we approach the Christmas season, we'll do so with hope, hope for the world, hope for our families and friends, and hope for this community which we live in. And Lord, we ask you to bless by your being received here. Lord, please find more welcome among us, we pray. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.